Just before the first trumpet is blown in the book of Revelation, there is 30 minutes of silence in heaven. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to an episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Well, hi, and thank you for joining me. This is Dr. Fred, and you're tuned into another episode of Study, Grow, Know. I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to be with me here. We're going to be talking more about the tribulation, and actually we've gotten into the part where we're just starting to talk about the trumpets. You'll recall that there were seven seals that the Lamb broke, and now we're into the seven trumpets, and the seven trumpets came from the opening of the seventh seal. So just before this happens, though, just prior to the release or the blowing of the first trumpet judgment, there is silence in heaven for roughly 30 minutes. And the reason for this is simple. We have to consider all of the things that have been happening on earth, all of the judgments that have been poured out onto the face of this earth. And we've seen war, starvation, pestilence, millions of people dying. We've seen asteroids, meteors, the whole thing. So we get to this first trumpet in this set of seven. And there's 30 minutes of silence. And that's a reminder to us. Like we would see at a concert or a theatrical production. This is God getting ready to unveil things in his plan of redemption, as a warning, a darker warning, a more potent warning against unbelief and lack of repentance. It is due to the fact that people need to wake up. And so this silence in heaven is basically everyone starting to focus. You've seen it before. You've gone to a theatrical production, a symphony, a concert hall. And just before things start, what happens? The music fades. You don't hear the orchestra warming up anymore. That's over. The lights go down. There's absolute silence. An expectation that the show is about to start. And that's what we're talking about here. 30 minutes of absolute silence in heaven is designed to get the world's direction, to get the world's attention, so that their attention is focused on him. And it really represents then the quiet before the storm. The first six trumpet judgments are recorded for us initially in Revelation 8 through 9, chapters 8 through 9. Now, more information concerning these judgments is provided in Revelation 10, verse 1 through 11, verse 14. Now, the seventh trumpet judgment, that is highlighted in Revelation 11, 15 through 16, 21, with more specific information being revealed in Revelation 12 through 15. So we get this sense, an overall sense of what these trumpet judgments are about in Revelation 8 and 9. But then as we get further into Revelation, we get more information about them. Now, trumpets have always been an important part, a very integral part of God's dealings with Israel. And so they are here as well. In the beginning verses of chapter 8, we see an angel who takes this incense representing, according to the scripture, the prayers of the saints. Now, this angel takes these hot coals from the fire in his censer and he flings it to earth. So he takes the incense with the hot coals out of the fire. He throws it to the earth. And then once he does this, the earth is pounded with, as the text says, peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. Revelation 8, 5, that's the second part of that verse. Now, one day, it's really interesting because here living in the South, we get thunderstorms and lightning storms and rainstorms on a fairly regular basis. And one day not long ago, my family and I were sitting on the couch, we were watching one of our favorite programs, and all of a sudden there was this tremendously loud crack. It wasn't really it wasn't really a thundering roll of anything or like that. It was basically a loud, loud crack. It was thunder. And I'd never heard thunder just like that before. And I'd spent years on the East Coast and in New York State. I'm familiar with thunderstorms. I'm familiar with the way they sound. I'm familiar with the entire atmosphere. But this was really odd. It was a peal of thunder that sounded as though a very concentrated high-end explosion had gone off in the sky. We all jumped, completely startled, even though it had already been raining with thunder and lightning. It was completely different, so it stood out. This is what the world is going to experience, except far worse. It is God's way of getting the attention of those on earth for what's coming next. Now, after this, the angel sounded his trumpet, and then we learn from Revelation 8, verse 7, that, quote, "There came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up." Try and get a mental picture of this. It helps when you can visualize the depth of meaning that is portrayed for us within Scripture. Now, again, the order of events, we've got 30 minutes of silence in heaven before any of this starts. When the 30 minutes are over, the pageantry begins again, if you want to call it pageantry. You have the angel taking incense with hot coals from the fire and then throws it to earth. And when that happens, there are peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake that all occur. Revelation 8, 5. But that isn't even the trumpet judgment. The trumpet judgment happens in Revelation 8, 7. And when that judgment, when that trumpet is blown and that judgment occurs, there comes hail and fire mixed with blood. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up. All the green grass was burned up. Now, should I be taking this metaphorically? Should I take this allegorically? Or should I take it literally? And again, I'm not talking about taking it literalistically, but literally. Is this actually what's going to happen? Yes, there's no reason for us to think that God is using these things as a metaphor. There is nothing in this text, in this conversation, that would signal to us that God is speaking in metaphors or using figures of speech to get a point across. He is speaking in a way that makes us plainly understand it in the way it's meant. Hail and fire. So do I believe that hail and fire mixed with blood is going to come down to the earth? Yes, I do. Absolutely. Do I believe that a third of the earth is going to be burned up? A third of the trees are burned up? Yes, I do. There's nothing in there to tell me that this is symbolic. Do I believe that all the green grass will be burned up? Yes, I do. There is nothing, again, there is nothing in this conversation, in this text, in this narrative that would hint that this is God speaking in metaphors. The angel who threw the contents of his censer to earth signified this judgment of hair, fire, and blood being thrown to the earth. Because of this, one third of the earth was burned up, along with one third of the trees, and all the grass was burned up. We need to stop to consider this. After this judgment, we've already had the seven seals, and out of the seventh seal came the seven trumpets. Now we have the first trumpet. After the first trumpet, judgment is blown. There is no more green grass on the earth, anywhere, according to text. Can I take that literally? I think I can. I think I should. All of the grass is gone. One third of the trees that had existed over the face of the earth are also gone. That's a lot of acreage. It will have devastating effects on humanity alone, not even to consider animals and plant life itself. Think of the erosion that will occur because of this. The Bible doesn't say there's going to be terrible erosion throughout much of the planet because of this, but we can assume that that's going to take place because we're getting hail, rain, thunderstorms, and that's going to wash away soil. We're going to have devastating effects happen. But what's interesting here is for all their bluster, for all their pride, their conceit, and their seeming unstoppable power, globalists, or call them technocrats if you want, who have been attempting to bring about a one-world system, which involves its three-pronged, economic, religious, and social. They have been attempting to bring about this one-world system. They can't control everything. God has his say. And he takes charge of many of the resources of this earth throughout the tribulation period to prove to these elitists that they control nothing. They are powerless to keep God from doing whatever he will to his creation. And he reminds them of that fact repeatedly. That's part of what these judgments are designed to do. No one could stop the flood from happening during Noah's day. No one could stop Sodom and Gomorrah from being destroyed during Lot's day. No one. All people could do was try to get out of the way. And if it was Noah's flood, they couldn't get out of the way. If they were living in Sodom and Gomorrah, they couldn't get out of the way. God will have his way, his say, and he'll do it on his terms. The elitist, the globalist, the average person is powerless when it comes to trying to keep God at bay. And by the way, the grass will probably grow again. That's not unusual, because we see it later in Revelation. But grass is one of the easiest and first things to replenish itself after forest fires. It's one of the first things to grow back. Biologists will tell you that. Scientists will tell you that. Environmentalists will tell you that. So when there's a huge forest fire, one of the very first things you will see growing back is grass. Now, we don't know how much time passes between each of these judgments, so there could be enough time for grass to grow in only a few weeks or a month's time. And don't forget, if one-third of the trees are gone, those trees that protected, I guess you could say, or created this umbrella, protective umbrella, so that the light couldn't really hit the bottom of the floor in the forest, are no longer going to be there, so that means grass is even going to grow quicker. Now, the second trumpet judgment occurs following the first trumpet judgment, of course. And in this second judgment, quote, something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Revelation 8, 8 through 9. Okay, what's all that about? Symbolic? No. Metaphor? No. Figures of speech? No. Try again. Sorry, I don't mean to sound sarcastic, but here's the reality. God is speaking plainly to us. A great mountain? Could that be an asteroid or a meteor? Of course it could. And I'm sure that's what John saw. But he didn't call it a meteor. And then we've got, that goes into the sea, and a third of the sea becomes blood. Why? Well, there's something obviously terribly poisonous about this meteor or asteroid that kills a third of the creatures. They died, and their death brings about the leakage of blood, or maybe God just turns it into blood, as he did during, you know, the Pharaoh's day. A third of the ships were destroyed, possibly by what? A tsunami? Was something that large falling in the ocean? Well, that's our show for today. Sorry to end so quickly. But I do want to say thank you for joining me. And until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.